Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, we'll benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Nun Beis, today's shir will begin 5 lines from the top. There appears a 2 dots with a Tanaic source that follows Tonu Rabbanan, and you can see a framed section which in our marking system indicates a piece of Tanaic literature. We frame off these sections so as to distinguish the Tanaic material from the rest of the Gemara. Before actually learning the text inside, let us glance at one of the features that our Gemara marking system offers in the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of the marking system. The Nosei topic heading that you see in the outside margin, as every new sugya appears, we attempt to give a summary or encapsulated version of what will be taking place. In addition to that, when new geometric forms appear, we also offer a mivne heading, a structural note that accompanies that section. In this case, we have our nosei heading on the outside margin, Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, a controversy between these two tanoim, Mahi Mokor HaTaktziv, what is the financial source, L'shalem Avur Par Helem U'Sirei Avodah Zarah. There are 2 korbonos that are referred to in this sugya, the Par Helem and the Sirei Avodah Zarah. These are sacrifices that are brought in the event that the High Court, the Sanhedrin, issues an erroneous legal ruling and the public acts thereupon. When it's discovered that they made a mistake, these are 2 types of korbonos that are relevant. Par Helem is a sacrifice that is of a general nature, meaning covering most of the cases where they erred in an area that would be chayev kores if done bemazed. And Sirei Avodah Zarah is a situation where they had issued an erroneous ruling in the realm of idolatry. Let us now turn to the Gemara itself. Tanu Rabbanan, Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur U'Sirei Avodah Kochavim. Betchila magvin lohen divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that originally the source of payment for these korbanos was from a public collection that was taken up. After all, the public sinned by following the erroneous ruling of the Beis Din, and they need the atonement afforded by these sacrifices. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mitrumas Halishka Hein Boyin. Rabbi Shimon says that the source for these korbanos was from the public funds of the Beis Hamikdash, the Trumas Halishka. The Gemara asks, V'hatanya Ipcha. But we have a Tanaic source that's not spelled out in the Gemara. It's simply the source we just read, however, switching the names with the opinions. In other words, you would have Rabbi Shimon holding that a public collection was taken up for paying for these sacrifices. So the question right now is, we have 2 sources that are of an opposite nature. Which is more reliable? So the Gemara says, Hey Minayu Achrita, which of the 2 sources is a later source and hence more reliable? It's also pointed out in Rashi that when you have a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the halacha will follow Rabbi Yehuda. So it's important for us to know which version of Rabbi Yehuda is more accurate, so as to know which way the halacha would go. Accuracy, as we just mentioned, is in this case determined by that which is taught, was taught later in time. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a squiggle underline that features the expression of Rabbanan Kameder of Ashi. This type of structure, where the Rabbanan, the assembly of rabbis, say in front of a particular outstanding scholar, often results in the response of that scholar to what is said at this point. In this case, you could see two lines later, Omar Luhu Ravashi, which is also squiggle underlined to give the impression, to give the feeling of the give and take structure. So they, the Rabbonan, open up and say, Omru Rabbonan Kameder of Ashi, Lemo Komaiso Achrita. Let us suggest that the earlier, the first source, as far as the way it appears in this printed version of the Gemara, is actually chronologically the later taught source. It would come out then that that Rabbi Shimon would be of the opinion, or the reliable version of Rabbi Shimon would be, like it says in this, in the framed source, that the collection was, where the money was provided from the Truma Salishka. Why do they want to suggest that that's the more accurate version of Rabbi Shimon? De Shaminon Le, the Rabbi Shimon, we have heard Rabbi Shimon hold the Chayish Lepshia, that he is wary of Pshia, of negligence or of laxity. That would be the case if the payment would be dependent on a collection taken from the public. As many of you are probably aware, it's not so easy to get money from the public, from a collection made for a specific need. Because of the problems that one would encounter if trying to account for the budget by a public collection, and the likelihood that they would not be successful, Rabbi Shimon, who is sensitive to this problem of pshia, of negligence, he probably does not hold magvin lahen, but rather he would hold that it comes from the pre-established public funds in the form of the Truma Salishka. It's worth pointing out that we learned before that in the case of the Chavite Kohen Gadol that died, the Kohen Gadol that died, and his daily mincha needed to be brought anyway, Rabbi Shimon held that payment for that was from the public funds and not from the heirs, not from the Yorshim. As you can imagine, Rabbi Shimon would be wary in relying on the heirs in coming up with the funds. Therefore, it would be paid. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon holds over there that it's paid for the Chavite Kohen Gadol that happened to die. It's paid from what's called Mishel Oilam, from the public coffer. Hence, the Rabbonin want to conclude that that seems to be Rabbi Shimon's general train of thought or a line of reasoning. Hence, the more accurate version of Rabbi Shimon would be like is presented in the framed source here, that the Parhelim and the Sira Avodah Zorah would be paid for from the Trumas Halishka. Omar Luhu Ravashi. Ravashi responds, and he says, listen, it may be that he is Choshesh for Pshia. However, you can't compare the case of the Yorshim and their paying for the Chavite Kohen Gadol and the case here of the public paying for the Parhelim and Sira Avodah Kechovim. Afilu temo basreiso achrito. It may be that the Ipcha source, the second of the sources here, is the later and hence more accurate source, and it would come out that Reb Shimon says you do take up a public collection for paying for the Parhelim and the Sira Avodah Kechovim. Ah, you say that Rabbi Shimon is worried about negligence. So I will answer. Aki kochayish Rabbi Shimon lepshia. When is it that Rabbi Shimon is wary of negligence and of non-payment? That's b'milsa delespu kapora begave. That's concerning something that the one who is paying does not have a personal vested interest of receiving atonement through begavah through it. That is true in the case of the Chavite Kohen Gadol and the Yorshim. However, b'milsa de'is luhu kapora begavah, like the case of the Parhelim and the Sira Avodah Kechovim, lo chayish Rabbi Shimon lepshia. Gemara now asks, "My havi Allah, what is the final ruling with regard to the issue of the payment for the par helam and the sirvis kachavim according to the tanoim? Which source in the final analysis is to be relied upon?" Amale Rav Azuti, the Rav Ashi, Toshma, Desanya. We have the following Tanaic source that darshans a posuk. And by the fact that a posuk is being darshaned, it's felt that this is the more reliable source. That, in other words, that which we are about to learn. The pasuk says, "Es korboni lachmi leishai reyach nichochi tishmuru lakriv li b'mayadoi." This pasuk makes reference to multiple korbonas. And we learn from this, "Larabois par helam dovishot tzibor usir v'yuskechovim sheboin mitrumas alishka divrei Rabbi Shimon." So you see here in this source, which is felt to be a reliable source, as Rashi says in Dibor Maso divrei Rabbi Shimon, Rashi says, "V'kimah de mikra yolev," since it's learned from a pasuk, ikerhu, this is the main thing to rely upon. And what you notice with our markings, we've dashed, underlined at the end, Rabbi Shimon's name, and also the phrase that says Sheboyin Bishumas Alishka, and also the Korbanos, the Par Helam, and the Sire Avodis Kechavim. It says that they come from, in fact, the Trumas Alishka. So that is the more reliable approach. Ushlema Hoy Sokreva. Before going further in the Gemara, let's glance at the side to our outside margin where we have a no say. Ha de kotani de minchas chavitin hoisa krevo shlema yisoron shalem. We learned in the Mishnah that in the bizman shekoin gadol meis, that in the case that a kohen gadol died, the minchas chavitin was continued in its being offered, even though the kohen gadol was deceased. The nature or the type of offering was that it was offered as an isaron shlein, a full isaron was put on the fire. When the Kohen Gadol was alive, he would bring an isaron, but it was split, half an isaron in the morning and half an isaron in the afternoon. When the Kohen Gadol is dead, it is said here that the Mishnah teaches that an isaron shalem, a complete isaron, was offered. So now we continue in our note. Ha'im ha'kavona lishlema. When the Mishnah mentions that it was offered in full isaron, is it pamayim b'yoyim? Is it twice a day? In other words, one full isaron in the morning and one full isaron bein arbayim. Or rak b'shachar? Or was there only one offering and in the morning, and that one offering involved an isaron shalem? Turning to the Gemara, Omer v'chivar avo, boi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asks, Shlemo shachris u'shlemo ben arbayim. The Mishnah that mentioned it, that the minchas chavitin was offered shlema, does that mean a complete isaron in the morning and a complete isaron ben arbayim in the afternoon? Oidilma, or possibly beis, the second side of the analysis is shlemo shachris u'betela ben arbayim. A complete isaron was offered in the morning, and nothing was offered in the afternoon as far as the chavitin is concerned. Amar Rava, Toshma. You notice a triangle appears around the Toshma. In the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, the structural note, the triangle appears with a term in parentheses, Ma'akav. This is used to keep track of the structure. When we say this is used, when you have the same geometric form, however, appearing in a flip-flop fashion, as you see in this sugya, as you scan down, you'll notice an inverted triangle, and later the triangle straightens up, again, point facing up. This is a method of keeping track of the back-and-forth nature of the discussion. So with the point facing up, that they represent tshuvos, answers. The question had been, is it a full isaron once a day or twice a day? So with the point facing up, this is an attempt to answer. With the point facing down, we'll see a little bit later, Rav Yirmiya reacts to what Rava is saying now. He will attempt to dispel or reject what we are about to say. However, later in the Gemara, Rava comes back and reinstates what he says at the beginning, that which we see right now. So Amar Rava, turning to the Gemara, Toshma, The Gemara quotes a Tanaic source, it's a very brief quote, says, Shmini Bechavitin. The source is coming from Maseches Tomid, where the Mishnah mentions that there are 13 Kohanim that are involved with the Tomid, whether it be the Tomid Shel Shachar, the morning Tomid, the morning daily sacrifice, or the afternoon daily sacrifice, the Tomid Shel Shachar, Tomid Shel Ben Abayim. They both have 13 Kohanim involved in offering that sacrifice and that which accompanies it. In the list of Kohanim, each Kohen and his role is featured. It mentions there, Shmini Bechavitin. The eighth Kohen is responsible for the offering of the Chavitin. And this idea of the eighth Kohen means the eighth Kohen in the morning and the eighth Kohen of the afternoon. Ve'im Esau de Betelo Ben Arbayim, if it were so, like in our question, we can call this possibility Bayes, when the question was raised with Aleph Oy Dilma Bayes, just a few lines up. If you follow the Bayes possibility, that in the afternoon, that in the event that the Kohen Gadol died, there was no offering whatsoever of the Chavitin. Let's read the last few words again. Ve'im Esau de Betelah Bein Harbayim. If it were so that the Bein Harbayim offering would be canceled as a result of the death of the Kohen Gadol, Ha Zimnin de Lo Mishkach Le Shmini Bechavitin, there could arise a situation that there would be no eighth Kohen taking care of the Chavitin. And under what circumstances would that be? Well, it's what we already said. Hechi Domi, the Meis Kohen Gadol V'lo Minu Achir Tachtov, where the Kohen Gadol had died and they did not appoint a replacement Kohen Gadol. Granted, when the Kohen Gadol is alive, so half of his Isarin is offered in the morning and half is offered in the afternoon, and the ones that are responsible for that are the number 8 Kohens that are chosen for putting the Minchas Chavitin on the fire. However, if you're going to say that in the event that the Kohen Gadol dies, that the afternoon offering is botel, so we're going to be left with an inaccuracy, so to speak, because the Mishnah in Maseches Tomid says the eighth is responsible for the Chavitin, whether it be in the morning or in the afternoon. So this is what this is what Rava said. Rava therefore is taking the position that, since it says in Maseches Tomid Shmini Bechavitin, it means under all circumstances, even when the Kohen Gadol is dead, there is an offering in the afternoon. Amru Rabbonon Kameder Reb Yirmiya. The Rabbonon said over this teaching of Rava, this conclusion of Rava, to Reb Yirmiya. It might be worth noting that Reb Yirmiya was an Amora who had once lived in Bovel, and when he was in Bovel, he found the learning there to be difficult to follow, and he left Bovel, came to Eretz Yisrael, and became a very prominent scholar. So the teaching of Rava is told over to Reb Yirmiya, apparently when he is in Eretz Yisrael. Omar, Reb Yirmiya reacts and says, Bavloi tipshoi, the foolish Babylonians, mishum diyasfu ba'asra de chashucha, since they sit in a dark land, a dark place, asra is a place, since they sit in a dark place, Bovel is characterized as a dark land, possibly because it was a low-lying country surrounded by high lands around it, creating a sense of shade or darkness, but it's referred to as a dark land. Amri, they therefore say Shmaitza de Machshechon, they say dark teachings. In other words, they say things that are inaccurate. And Reb Yirmiya goes on to show the inaccuracy. Ela de Kotoni, it says also in the list of Kohanim that offer the daily sacrifices, morning and afternoon, it says Shvi'i Besoilas, Chi'i B'yayin. The seventh Kohen is responsible for the Minchas Nesachim, for the flour offering that accompanies the daily sacrifice, and the ninth one is responsible for the wine that accompanies the daily sacrifice. So are you going to tell me, says Reb Yirmiya, that just because it mentions these in the seventh and ninth positions, that they are always in that place, that they are always doing this? Hochi, Nami, Dolo, Batli, read that with a tone of wonderment. Is it so here too that it's not canceled that it's always present, but that's not so. There's a Gzeres HaKosuf that says, Minchosam v'niskehem. And from this we learn, Balayla, and likewise, Minchosam v'niskehem, afinu l'mohar. We have learned in other sukkis that the minchas nesachim that is brought together with these daily sacrifices, the nesachim can in fact be brought disjointed from the basic sacrifice. So that even though there's an obligation to bring the minchas nesachim, it could very well be that they're not brought during the day of the actual korban itself. They can be brought at night. They might be brought tomorrow. And when that happens, you obviously don't have a seventh and ninth kohanim doing this, when in fact they are not doing it. They might pop up at night and offer the, in other words, the Minchas Nesachim might be offered at night. So the list of Kohanim on that given day that are taking care of the Tomit Shel Shachar or the Tomit Shel Bar Abayim, in that group of Kohanim, you're not going to have a number 7 doing, number 7 and number 9 taking care of the Minchas Nesachim, which is comprised of the flour and the wine. That will be taken care of separately. So you see that even though it says in the list, 7th is Soilus and 9th is wine, it could very well be at times that it's not, that they're not done, that the 7th and 9th Kohanim are not taking care of those things. Ela, so what do you have to say? Rabbi Yirmiya goes on saying, what do you have to say? De'i lo kotoni. Contingency cases are not taught. The source here, which deals with the list of Kohanim and their respective responsibilities, deals with the standard situation, not contingency cases. Hachinami, so too, with regard to the Chavitin, de'i. De'i is an expression meaning like de'i eved, the contingency case of the situation where Kohen Gadol dies. Lo kotoni, it's not taught. But in fact, in the event that the Kohen Gadol would die, Rav Yirmiya is saying that the afternoon chavitin, in fact, would be botel. Ahajua kamei derava. The Rav Yirmiya's comment was then said back to sent back to Rava, and Rava, in a sense of despair, reacts. Omar, Rava says, "Mibishusin amri kamayu." You always say over our poor teachings in front of them in Eretz Yisrael. However, mitivusin lo amri kamayo. But from our good things, you don't say in front of them. You don't tell them. He was kind of upset that, okay, maybe my explanation, my answer was a weak answer, but it's a shame that that's the teaching that they have to have heard in Eretz Yisrael. They don't say over the good things that we say. However, in a very abrupt about-face, Rava says, hey, one second, the teaching that I taught, my answer, based on the Mishnah in Tomid, is not such a bad answer. Hodar, Omar, Rava, and here you can see the triangle has straightened up with the point facing up, whereby we're trying to convey or indicate that Rava's original answer is being reinstated. Hani nami tivusin hi. That which I answered, that the Bein Harbayim is not botel, happens to be a good answer. I'll back it up from another source, but the original answer that I gave, meaning that the chavitin of the afternoon is not botel, is never botel, is actually a good response. Omar Kro, the pasuk in the context of the Minchas Chavitin says, Soiles mincha tomid. That's how the Torah describes the Minchas Chavitin in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Harei hi l'chok k'minchas tamidim. It has the characteristic of a mincha like the mincha that accompanies the tamid. Just like the tamid is something that is always taking place, so too the Minchas Chavitin is always going to be taking place, both in the morning and in the afternoon. Just like the tamid takes place, you have a tamid shel shachar and a tamid shel bein harbayim. At this point then in the Gemara, you basically have a machlokus between Rava and Rabbi Yirmiya. My Havi Allah. So the Gemara wants to know which way should we go, like Rava or Rabbi Yirmiya. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Toshma. So Rav Nachman attempts to resolve the issue with his answer to Sanya, and he answers from a source that will back up Rava's position that it's not Botel. And it says in this Tanaic source, Shlemo Shachris Ushlemo Bein Harbaim. So that the source is a clear statement that bears out Rava's approach. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara that indicates that that which follows is a new idea. In order to appreciate that which we are about to learn, we can glance at the outside margin under our no say heading. Machlokis Abu Yosi ben Dustoi Rabbonan will be a machlokis between these two opinions. Bekamut, the quantity, with regard to the quantity, halavoina, the lavona is a spice. Shel minchas chavitin shebechol yoim. How much lavona is brought together with a standard minchas chavitin that's offered every day? B'kayin shalomais. We're going back to the standard case of a kohen when he is alive. How much lavona does he bring together with his minchas chavitin? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, pliki bo Abu Yosi ben Dustoi v'rabbonan. They argue concerning the case of the kohen gadol that is alive. In the following, Abu Yosi ben Dustoi Omer, Mafrish lo shnei kemotzim shel levoina. The Kohen Gadol, when he brings his full isaron from the house in the morning, and that isaron eventually, as we mentioned on previous occasions, the isaron is a measure of flour that the Kohen Gadol brings in preparation of his minchas chavitin. He brings a full isaron from his house to the Beis HaMikdash and splits it, half to be offered in the morning and half to be offered in the Bein Arbaim, the afternoon. So Abu Yossi says that together with the isaron that he brings, in the morning from his house, he brings two kemotzim, two handfuls of lavona. One kemetz shachris, one handful for the morning, and kemetz bein arbaim, and another handful for the afternoon offering. V'rabbonon amri, the rabbonon disagree and say less. Mafrish lo kemetz echod, the kohen gadol brings one handful of lavona. And as far as how it is offered, chatzi koimetz shachritz v'chatzi koimetz bein harbayim, a half handful in together with the morning chatzi saron, and a half handful of lavona together with the chatzi saron in the afternoon. B'mai komifligi, what is the underlying explanation of their machlokas, of their controversy? The Gemara explains. Abu Yosi ben Ustoi Sovar, he is of the opinion, lo ashkichon chatzi koimetz tekorav, there's no precedent for the offering of a half handful of anything. Therefore, if you are talking about handfuls being offered, it's got to be a complete handful at any given time. V'rabbonon Savri, the Rabbonon on the other end hold lo ashkichon isaron deboi shnei kemotzim. We don't find a meal offering that measures a single isaron of flour, together with which is brought two handfuls of lavona. So there's no precedent for such a large amount of lavona relative to this small amount of flour. Small, of course, we're speaking relatively. Boy Rabbi Yochanan, Kohen Gadol Shemeis Velo Minu Achir Tachtov. Now the Gemara flips back to the case of the Kohen Gadol Shaddai, that Kohen Gadol died, and in the meantime they haven't appointed a replacement one. We know about this that the Isaron is offered Shlema. In fact, according to the Sugya before, the maskona was there was a full isaron in the morning and a full isaron bein harbayim. What the Gemara wants to know is quantities of lavona and oil under these circumstances, the circumstances of the Kohen Gadol having died. Before getting into the Gemara, we have a topic heading that accompanies this section on the outside margin. No say. She'elas Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's question. B'kohen gadol shemeis. Mahem hashiurim shel Shemen ulevona shel hachaviten. What are the quantities of oil and levona spice that accompany the chaviten when the Kohen Gadol has died? The question will be divided as follows. The Gemara will ask about levona aliva de rabbanan. Since we know that the amount of flour is double, we're going to ask about the quantity of levona according to the Rabbanan. It's pointed out in Rashi on Omid Beis that as far as the levona issue is concerned, the levona, as far as Abba Yossi ben Dostoy is concerned, will not come up in the discussion. The reason for that is that Abba Yossi ben Dostoy, regarding the live Kohen Gadol Lavona requirement, already mentioned two handfuls. To think that in his death the two will be doubled and there will be four, there's no precedent for such an amount, four handfuls of anything, or according to the way Abba Yossi presented things before, two handfuls in the morning and two handfuls in the afternoon. Since those numbers are not a reality, the Gemara is not even going to bother asking according to Abba Yossi ben Dostoy regarding the Lavona in the event that the Kohen Gadol died. However, according to the Rabbanan that said when he was alive, there was only one full handful altogether, it could be that when he's dead, maybe the full handful is doubled and you would have one handful in the morning and one handful in the afternoon. With regard to oil, on the other hand, and you could see in our note as we continue, Shemen, the issue of quantity of oil, Aliba de Rabbanan, the Abba Yossi ben Dostoy, that will be discussed, the quantity of oil. As far as sources for all of these different quantities, the only source we have has to do with the flour when the Kohen Gadol died. So there we have sources, either Osa, or there was another limud of Kolil Toktar that indicated Shlema. However, regarding the Lavona and the Lavona and the oil, there, we don't have any sources, and hence Rabbi Yochanan's question. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Was reading again from the bottom line. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan, Kohen Gadol Shemes velo minu acher tachtav, a Kohen Gadol that died, and in the meantime they haven't found a replacement Kohen Gadol. The Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, notice with the markings we have featured with a double underline the rabbis that we are investigating. You have Rabbanan, and a diamond that follows is the Lavona. As we mentioned before, with regard to the Lavona question, we're going to focus only on the Rabbanan. Two lines later, you can see another diamond around Shemen, and the Shemen question will be asked whether according to Abba Yossi and the Rabbanan as well. This is also featured in our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. You can see the double underline and the diamond. And we've noted Lavona Aliba de Rabbanan, Shemen Aliba de Rabbanan, Ve Abo Yoisi. So the Gemara asks, Le Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, do you say Huchpala Levoi Nosoi? Oi Loi. Is the quantity of Lavona doubled from the quantity that was brought when he was alive? When the Kohen Gadol was alive, we said there was a sum total of one koimetz of Lavona brought, half koimetz in the morning, half in the afternoon. In his death, do we say that that not one koimetz is brought, but rather a sum total of two koimetz are brought, one in the morning and one koimetz in the afternoon, or no? The analysis of this is as follows. Mi Amrinon, and here we go over this the two possibilities in a little more elaborate way, and we've continued our markings, Aleph, and the next line, O Dilma, or possibly, you can see the O Dilma is squiggled on the line, or O Dilma, Beis. So, do we say, Mi Amrinon, Mi Toich Shehuchbala Siltoi Huchbala Levoinasoi, just like the flour quantity is doubled, he brings a full Isaron instead of a half Isaron, a full Isaron in the morning and a full Isaron in the afternoon, according to the Maskona of the Gemara before, so too he will bring a double amount of Lavona, which when he was alive he would brought a half handful. Now he brings a full handful in the morning and a full handful in the afternoon. Oidilma, or possibly my degoli goli, that which the Torah reveals, namely the flour quantity as being doubled, fine, that's revealed. My delo goli, that which the Torah does not reveal, lo goli, it remains unrevealed, namely, it's not doubled. Veshemen, and now what about the oil that is brought with the chavitin? The question regarding the oil can be asked according to both of these opinions. As we mentioned before, the Lavona issue, as far as Abba Yossi ben Dustoy, was a non-issue, and we explained that before based on what Rashi says over here, because while the Kohen Gadol was alive, according to Abba Yossi, he already brought a large quantity of Lavona. So in his death, that large quantity will certainly not be doubled. What about the shemen, mahu? Do we require 3 lug for each isaron? Or do we say that just like when he was alive, the isaron that he brought had 3 lug, when he's dead, even though 2 isaron will now be brought, nevertheless the quantity of oil will remain the same 3 lug total? Omar Rava Toshma. So Rava attempts to answer this with the following Tanaic source. Hamisha Kemotzin Haim. Later in this Masichta, the Mishnah says there are 5 situations of a handful being offered. When it comes to handfuls, we don't find in that list handful of Lavona of Chavitin. Why is it that handful of Lavona of Chavitin is not mentioned? So the answer to that is that when the Lavona is offered in actuality, it's offered as a half handful in the morning and a half handful in the afternoon. Half handful offerings are not mentioned. Now, the Im Esau, the Gemara continues, if it were so that when the Kohen Gadol dies, the Lavona would be doubled from that which was brought when he was alive, well, Zinnin de Mishkachas Lo Shiva. There are times that, in fact, there would be an example of 7 handfuls, namely, that there would be a full handful of Lavona in the morning and a full handful of Lavona in the Bein Harbayim. But since the Mishnah there does not account for that, we can conclude, says Rava, that the Lavona was not doubled. The Gemara, though, to this rejects the conclusion and says, "Dei lo kotani." Contingency cases, namely when the Kohen Gadol dies, the unusual case is not the subject of that list. The list that's presented of the 5 handfuls talks about standard situations, and it's true that when the Kohen Gadol is alive, there is a half handful of Lavona offered in the morning and likewise in the afternoon. In the case that he dies, that wasn't the purview of that particular source. And it could be that, in fact, in the case of his death, the Lavona was doubled. Yosef Rav Papa v'ka'omar lo loha shmaitza. Rav Papa was seated and said over this answer, or this rejection, namely, di'i lo kotani, that the Mishnah there is not interested in teaching contingency cases. Omar le Rav Yosef bar Shmaya le Rav Papa. V'ha ma'ale koimetz b'chutz, de'i have v'kotani. The Mishnah there mentions a contingency case, a case that's actually reflective of a sin. And a sin, a sinful offering or a wrongful offering could not be considered something that falls under the category of standard procedure. And yet, the Mishnah there does teach the case of Ma'ale Kometz Bechutz. What is that? That's a case where someone takes a handful of a meal offering and offers it on a fire outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the list of things mentioned there does cover unusual situations. And yet, even though it covers unusual situations, it does not mention seven kemotzim to address the case of the Kohen Gadol that died. So that would, in fact, then be conclusive that the Levona is not doubled. My Havi Allah. Well, which way to go? Should we go with Rava's conclusion? Or with the possibility that de'i lo katani. And if we say de'i lo katani, then Rava's conclusion would not be accepted, and we would have to consider the possibility of a doubling of the Levona. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Toshma. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text we have a long answer marking. All of the lines of Gemara that follow compose or comprise the answer. Desanya, Kohen Gadol Shemes Velo Minu Achir Tachtov. The case that we've been discussing, a Kohen Gadol died, and in the meantime they haven't appointed a replacement for him. This source we've broken down into three parts. You can see with little Roman numerals that are encircled. The source covers the three elements of the chavitin, the flour, the lavona, and the oil. It says, Shlemo Shachris v'Shlemo Bein Arbayim, a full Isaron of Solas in the morning and a full Isaron of Solas in the afternoon. Umafrish lo Shnei Kemotzim, and two handfuls of Lavona are set aside for it. Kemetz Shachris v'Kemetz Bein Arbayim. And three, Umafrish lo Shloishes Lugin, three Lug of Shemen are set aside. Lug Umechzo Shachris. Lug Umechzo Bein Arbayim. A total amount of three lug of oil, lug being a liquid measure, three lug of oil, and it was offered 1.5 in the morning, 1.5 lug in the afternoon. Money. Who is the author of this source? Ilema Rabbanon. If you were to think that the author of this source is the Rabbanon, Rabbanon as opposed to Abba Yossi ben Dustoi, what is different about the Levona that is doubled, as opposed to the oil, the lo huchpala? Why should that be? Why should a distinction be made? Once again, if this source were according to the Rabbonan, why would they say that the Levona in his death is doubled and the oil is not doubled? Elo Abba Yossi ben Dustoi hi. Rather, this source is Abba Yossi. De Omar chavite kohen gadol ba'almo shnei kemotzim baya. His opinion is that the amount of Levona that's needed for the Kohen Gadol's Chavite, Minchas Chavitin, even when he is alive, is two kemotzim. So the quantity of Levona reflected in this source, even though it describes a Kohen Gadol that died, this is not a function of a doubling. This is Abba Yossi's standard amount for all Chavite Kohen Gadol's, even when they're alive. U Levona lo huchpala, u Shemen lo huchpal. The Levona quantity here, the two kmatzim, is not a doubling, and the shemen is obviously not a doubled amount. Umi de shemen la'abal yoisi ben stoi lo huchpala. And just like with regard to the oil, it's clear that there is no doubling. Levoinosa vishimna l'rabonon nami lo huchpalo. The Levona and shemen quantities, according to the Rabbonon as well, there would be no doubling. So if you just reflect back to the top of the page, when the questions had been raised regarding the Levona and the Shemen, whether it be the Rabbonon or Abba Yossi ben Ustoi, all of that is answered over here, that there is no doubling. no doubling of Lavona, according to the Rabbanan, and no doubling of Shemen, according to all opinions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Kaba Yosi Ben Distoi. Rabbi Yochanan rules that the amount of Lavona that's brought, together with the Minchas Ravitam of the Kohen Gadol when he is alive, follows the opinion of Abba Yosi Ben Distoi, a Kometz Lavona in the morning, and a Kometz in the Bein Harbayim. The Gemara asks, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Is it so that Rabbi Yochanan would rule like Abba Yosi Ben Distoi's opinion? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kestam Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan is known to rule like unnamed Tanaic sources. A Stam Mishnah is a Mishnah that's taught without a name, and Rabbi Yochanan is of the feeling that those are authoritative. Utnan, and it's taught in such a source, Chamisha K'motzim Hein. The source we actually saw this quoted above, that there are five handfuls offered. Five handfuls of different things, different substances that are offered in a kometz quantity. There is no mention made of Lavona of the Chavite Kohen Gadol in that list. Because if there was mention, if that list included the Lavona of the Chavite Kohen Gadol, and Abba Yossi's opinion was really to be accepted, it would have said seven. But the source, the unnamed Mishnah, says five kemotzim. That shows that the amount of Lavona offered for the Chavite Kohen Gadol was not a full kometz at any given time while being offered. So we seem to have an inconsistency with regard to Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, Amoroi ninhu, the Aliba to Rabbi Yochanan. There seems to be a Tanaic controversy as to how Rabbi Yochanan himself ruled with regard to this topic. One opinion holds that Rabbi Yochanan rules like the Stam Mishnah, and another opinion holds that Rabbi Yochanan, in the context of the Lavona of the Chavite Kohen Gadol, rules like Abba Yossi Ben Distoi. We now begin the Mishnah of the fifth perek. Before learning the Mishnah, let's just glance at the side. We have our Nosei topic heading, and we've written there, Kol HaMenachos Bois Matzah, almost all meal offerings are to be brought as matzah. Everyone is familiar with matzah on Pesach. That's a situation where we are careful to knead the dough and bake it all before it becomes chometz, before it ferments. So the way we treat matzah, so to speak, on Pesach is actually the way we are to treat menachos in general, menachos in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah tells us that most menachos came in matzah form. Matzah form meaning non-fermented. Chutz mi, number one, chometz shebetoda, and number two, shtei halechem. The korban toda was a sacrifice that in addition to an animal that was brought, 40 loaves of breads were brought too. 10 of the 40 were chometz. The shtei alechem offering was brought on Shavuos. We had some very extensive sugyas concerning the shtei alechem in the previous perek. Those two loaves that were brought on Shavuos, along with the kivsei atzeres, those were chometz loaves. We will also see a machlekes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda eich machmitzin hanal. The chometz that we just spoke about, how is that produced? How is it made into chometz? There will be a discussion or a controversy between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda on that topic. So, turning to the Mishnah, kol hamenachos bois matzah, chutz mi chometz shebetoido shtei alechem shein bois chometz. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir addresses the issue of the making of the chometz. Hasaor boide lohen mitochon umechamson. That means that a small quantity of flour was taken from the isaron itself that was brought to make the meal offering, the chometz meal offering, and from the isaron itself, some of the flour was taken and set aside to become highly fermented. That's called sa'or. Sa'or is known as sourdough, and it creates fermentation when it's mixed together with other dough. So the sa'or was made from the flour of the isaron itself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hi eino min hamufchar. If you're going to create sa'or on an almost momentary basis, in other words, you on the very day that they bring the isaron in anticipation of making these chometz loaves, if you're going to on the spot have it fermented and then add it to the rest of the flour, it won't be a good quality fermentation. That's eino min hamufchar. Elo, Sorbuto suggests an alternative approach. Maybe as a sa'or, he brings some pre-fermented sa'or from an outside source, and that will be intensely fermented, and hence create a higher quality fermentation. V'noisnoi l'soy chamida, and he adds it to the measure of flour that's brought for the current mincha. Umimalei esamida, and fills up the vessel to the proper quantity. Omru lo, so they responded to Rabbi Yehuda and said, af hi hoiso chasera o yisera. If you're going to produce sa'or from an outside source, you're going to then very likely have a situation where it's not going to, the amount of flour that's in that sa'or isn't going to be isn't going to help create a perfect isaron measure. If the sa'or happens to be a very dense, dry type of dough, so then the amount of flour in that will probably be greater than the amount of flour in the isaron that you are bringing right now. And if it happens to be a loose type batter of sourdough, so the amount of flour in that situation will be less than the amount of flour in the isaron that you are currently bringing. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking. The sukkia is explained by way of markings in our outside margin. We have a nosei mivneh. This bow tie with Roman numerals 1 and 2 associated with it represent shnei she'elois, two questions, she'shoyel Rabbi Preido mi Rabbi Ami. You'll notice this double underline and with a design in it between the two parallel underlines. Feature the names Rabbi Preda asking from Rabbi Ami. In other words, there will have twice in this Gemara, you'll see number one right here, and on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, a topic that we will not get involved with in this shiur, but almost halfway down Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, there appears a second question that Rabbi Preda asks of Rabbi Ami. These two questions in our note we've written, Be'inyan Menachos, they concern the topic of meal offerings. The number one, minyan, minayin shebois matzah. From where do we know that, his question will be, from where do we know that minochas have to be matzah? And number two, dini loishois beposhrin uboi shmiro shaloyach mitzu. The discussion of question two will be, from where do I know that the minochas that are prepared and kneaded with lukewarm water must be guarded from becoming chometz? So as far as our shiur today is concerned, we can simply read the question, but realize that the next shiur will pick up from this point. The question here says, "Bo aminei Rabbi Preido mi Rabbi Ami minayin l'chol haminochos shein bo'os matzah." From where do we know that all minochos come as matzah and are not allowed to be left to turn into chametz, with the exception of the two items mentioned, the Mishnah, the Shtei Alechem, and the Lachme Toda. Being that the sugi itself continues onto Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, this would be a very convenient point for concluding our shiur. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.